At the end of Parshas Mishpatim, the Torah records a covenant, a brief, that was consummated between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. We'll read the Pesukim, Perek Chavdal Pasuk Aleph. The Torah says, Yel Moshe Omar, Moshe was told, Alei Al Hashem, he should go up to Hashem, Yisbarach, Atah Bi'aron, Dabar Ba'aviyu, B'shivim Nizikne Yisrael, V'shtachavitza Meirocho. V'nigash Moshe Lebador Al Hashem, Ve'em Lo Yigoshu, Ve'om Lo Yalu Imo, ויבוא משה ויספר לו מאת כל דברי השם מאת כל המשפטים ויען כל העם כל אחד ויאמרו כל הדברים אשר דברי השם נעשה. כלל ישראל accepted upon himself כל אחד, the Torah says, unanimously, whatever Hashem Yisbarach has articulated we will do. פסוק ד', ויסוף משה את כל דברי השם וישכם בבוקר ויבא מזבח תחת ההור ושתי מפי מצי ועוד השני מפי שיטה ישראל משה רבינו בילד במזבח. There are 12 מצבות corresponding to the 12 שבטים. פסוקי וישלח את נערי בן הישראל ויעלו עודות ויסלחו זבוחם שלום ועשם פורים the offer of carbonos. ויקח משה חצי אדם ויוצם באגונות וחצי אדם זורק על המזבח ויקח ספר הברית ויקח ביום ביום ויומו. Once the bridge was consummated, there are kavanos, there's dam that's nizrak, chazal v'gemara says in Kritzus, v'sholsh dvarim nichnas to Yisrael, the bridge, Rashi quotes it over here, Rashi in Pasuk, vav, b'mila u'stila v'hazrat dami. The bridge was consummated through brit mila, through tfila in the mikra, and sprinkling of the blood. And then the pasuk says, Kol asher divrei Hashem nase v'nishma. Vayikach Moshe et adam vayikach al ha'om vayom hinei dam v'brit asher korach Hashem imochem al kol advarim v'ayel. The question, of course, that's raised by Rishonim, when did this parasha take place? When was this parasha enunciated? Perek Chavdal pasuk Aleph, the entire episode, the whole saga of entering the bridge. The Pip Shuta Shemikra, it happened after Matan Torah. Because Matan Torah occurs in the last week's parasha of Yisrael, as we know. And if you look there for a moment, in parasha of Yisrael, the Torah also has a very famous Hakdama, in Perek Yitzet. The Hakdama to Kabbalah Satorah, where Klal Yisrael also are spoken to the beginning of Perek Yitzet. Take a look, for example, Pasuk Gimel, U'moshe Ola Ola Elohim, Vayikoy Elav Hashem and Ahar Leimor, Kol Tzomad Abos Yaakov Vistak Yisrael Yisrael. Pasuk Dalar Atem Reitzem Asher Asif to the Mitzrayim, Vo Eso Etzem Al Tanfe Nishorem Vav Yitzem Eloi, Vyatom Shemo Atishmu Vikoli, Ushmartem Es Brisi. There's also a Brisi there as well. And Moshe Rabbeinu, in effect, is also consummating a covenant with Klal Yisrael. Ushmartem et britzi, v'yisem l'ispulo mikol amim, tivi kol arek, v'yatem tiyuli mamachas kohanim v'goy kodosh, eila advarim asher tzadabar al Yisrael. And what's the reaction of Klal Yisrael? We'll put to chet. V'yanu kol om yachta v'yomu kol asher divrei Hashem na'aseh. Very similar to the reaction that we just read about at the end of Mishpatim. But of course there are a number of distinctions that we will draw your attention to in a moment. But see, the concept of Brit obviously applied before Matan Torah as well. So we have Lepi Pshuta Shavikra, one Brit before Matan Torah, that's in Perek Yitzet, and the other Brit here in Perek Chavdalet seemingly is after Matan Torah. And of course the question right away is, what is the necessity? Why do we need two covenants? One before Matan Torah, one after Matan Torah. And many Rishonim assume that there's no need to go ahead and assume that this brit happened before Matan Torah, the one of Mishpatim, but rather this precept brit occurred after Matan Torah. There is some sort of a bris before Matan Torah, and some sort of a bris after Matan Torah. And now the question we will have to address, what is the nature of these two covenants? And before we draw your attention to the distinction between them, as I mentioned, even some of the areas of analogy between them. You take a look for a moment, in Perek Yutet, if you have the Chumash, Pasuk Gimel, there the Torah says, Moshe Allah Elohe Elohim. Moshe ascends to Hashem Yisroach. Moshe goes up to Hashem. In Perek Abdalim, just keep your finger on both places. Perek Abdalim, Pasuk Aleph. What does the Torah say there? The El Moshe Amar Alei Al Hashem. So in both cases we have Moshe Rabbeinu ascending to Hashem Yisroach. In Perek Yutet, Pasuk Aleph, the Torah says that Hayom Hazeh Bo Min Bar Sinai, U'Moshe Allah Elohim, and a little bit later, we have Hashem Yisroach who comes down as it were. Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu came down, and we have Hashem Yisroach as well, look in Pasuk Yutet, Bahar Sinai Ashan Kulam, Ne Hashem Yorad, Olav Hashem Ba'esh. And Pasuk Chaf, Perek Yutet, Vayeren Hashem Ahar Sinai Elohim, Hashem descended. Now take a look at Perek Abdalit. There also, Moshe Rabbeinu ascends, as we mentioned, and the Pasuk says, Rav says Zayin, the Torah says, Vayal Moshe Elohar, Vayichat Tanu Nesahar, and the Ribbono Shalom descends as well, Vayishkol for Hashem Ahar Sinai. Vayichatir Ha'onon, Sheshit Yomim. Again, an analogy between Perek Yutet and Perek Abdalit. Beyond that, in both cases, the Onon, the cloud, represents the presence of the Shekhinah on the Har. In Perek Yutet that we just read, Prophet says, "Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Hinei Anochi Bo Elecha Bi'av HaOnon." The Onon represents, of course, the Ashuas Hashekhinah, and that Onon is also found again in Perek Yutet, Prophet says, "Zayin, Vayi Vayom Hashlishi." And if we compare now to Perek Abdalit, there also, starting from Sukkim Tezvav, there's a cloud which envelops the Shekhinah, Vayishkom for Hashem al Sinai, Vayichatir Ha'onon, Sheshet Yomim, and the end, the last passage of Mishpatim, Vayyava Moshe Betoch Ha'onon, Vayyava Ha'onon. And beyond that, in both cases, HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls Moshe Rabbeinu. In Perek Yutet, Pasuk Gimel, Vayikra Elav Hashem in Ahar Leimar. Hashem calls to Moshe Rabbeinu, and in Pasuk Chaf, Perek Yutet, Vayikra Hashem le Moshe, Rosh Ahar, Vayal Moshe. And similarly, in Perek Abdalit, Pasuk Tezayin, Vayikra Moshe, Vayal Moshe, Yitot Ahar. Again, another area of analogy between the two scenarios. And finally, of course, in both cases, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Torah. That we see certainly in Yisrael, we have Matan Torah, right after this bridge, this covenant. And then, and as you'll see, look at Perakov, took him Aleph all the way to Yudalim, talking about the Aseret HaDibrit. Hashem gave Kal Yisrael the Torah. And the Perakov Dalit, Pasuk Yudayz, Vayom Hashem HaMoshe Alei Elai Hora, Ve'yesham, Ve'etnod Ocho Hashmucha Seheben, Ba'atorah Ba'amit Ma'asher Kasafi Laro. So we have two brisin, or brisot, two covenants that obviously have many areas of analogy, and yet, as I said, it's clear there are distinctions between them that I would like to draw your attention to. Go ahead. The Gemara says, the Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara in Bakkit, the Gemara says in two places, Kiyimu v'kiblu, Kiyimu mashi kiblu kvar. That on Purim there was another Kavanah Chatorah, the original one was the Kviya, Hashem, the Gemara in Shabbos, he put the mountain over us, the Har was placed like a bathtub over Kol Yisrael, Im Atem v'kabim v'chatorah mutav, he set the Torah, find the Ilav, Shabtek v'ratzen, there will be a burial place. The Gemara says, "Mikan Modar Rabba Daraisa, Abu Hadar Kibua B'Mei Achashverosh." Later on, we accepted it willingly, maliciously. That's what you're referring to. I'm not discussing that aspect right now, but just in response to your question, that's what the Chazal say. Later on, it was accepted willingly. There's a Achashverosh Shenema Kibu B'Kibu Kibu Mashikibu Kvar. The Gemara two places in Shas. Chazal had also the same idea elsewhere, but the Gemara in Shabbos and the Gemara in Machlokes. But I'm showing you now. There are two brithim, there are two covenants, one before Matan Torah, one after Matan Torah. And now the question is, when did the second brith take place? So as I said, the Pip Shuda Shomikra, when did the second brith take place? After Matan Torah. This is the position of the Ramban, of the Ibn Ezra. That's what they assume is the Nilfa the Pshita. Rashi, however, on the spot, Rashi is Berach Abdalid, one of the most famous Rashi in the Torah. So Rashi comments, and of course Rashi utilizes his famous principle that he utilizes throughout Tanakh, namely the principle of a mukdam u'meuchar b'mikra. And Rashi says clearly in Perek Abdal Pasukal, the Moshe Amar comments Rashi, Pasha Zunemra Kodem Aseret Hadibros. That this Pasha Rashi said was said prior to Aseret Hadibros, u'bedal b'tziva nema lo alei. So Shitas Rashi is we invoke the principle of a mukta l'mukha b'Torah. In general, the Ramban, as you know, is Chodek and Rashi, and this usage of the principle, the Ramban contends that the principle is only utilized when there is a compelling reason to utilize the principle. If there's no compelling reason, we do not invoke this principle. We don't just invert Pashios. And Rashi Shita, many, many times Rashi invokes the principle of a mukta l'mukha b'Torah. Here we have a fundamental machloket between Rashi on the one hand and the Ramban and Ibn Ezra on the other hand. And the Ramban actually quotes the machloket Tanoim and the Mechilta. Ramban in Perash al HaTorah tells you that this is the subject of machloket Tanoim. I read the Ramban here. Ra'isi the Mechilta Shenechuku B'Dava Yesh Amru, there are those who say Shoya Kodim HaTorah B'Chamishi, that this Pasha at the end of Mishpatim preceded Matan Torah. The Amalayim Hashem Yisbarach said to them, "Amei atem kshurim, tzvusim, anuvim, lochar bo, v'kabal alechem, kol ha-mitzvot." And one opinion, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says, "Bo v'yom nasu kol ha-mitzvot." Lomar, bo v'yom lachar Matan Torah. After Matan Torah, everything happened, namely the whole Sefer HaBris, the parsha that found at the end of Mishpatim. Of course, that's obviously in sync with the position of the Ramban in the Ibn Ezra. So you have the machlokes in the Mechilta itself, two opinions, and Rashi obviously adopts one position, and the Ramban Ibn Ezra adopts the second position of the Mechilta that occurred just about the Torah. But just to stress for a moment or two, a number of the distinctions that I wanted to draw your attention to, they're fairly evident, I assume you are familiar with them. The most famous of them, of course, is the distinction between the Brit that found in Yisrael, and then the Torah uses the expression, if you recall, in Perek Yitesh, look again in Perek Yitesh, when they respond to the Brit, and that was Moshe Rabbeinu told them, so they answer in Pasuk Tet, Yitesh Tet, Vayanu kolom yakter vayomu kol asher dibur Hashem na'aseh. They accepted upon themselves to carry out the Dibur Hashem, Vayoshev Moshe dibur yom el Hashem. In the Parsha Mishpatim, this week's Parsha, the end of Mishpatim, so here the Torah says, initially, in Pasuk Gimel, when Moshe came and told the people Dibri Hashem and all the Mishpatim, Vayan kolom kol echol vayomu kol adroim asher Dibri Hashem na'aseh. And a bit after, once the Brit has been consummated, the Torah says in Pasuk Zayin, Vayikach Dibri HaBrit, Vayikom Yozayom, Vayomu kol asher Dibri Hashem na'aseh. The Nishma. Famous distinction between the language of Nasa that's found in Yisrael and the language of Nasa the Nishma that's found in the other Mishpatim. And there are other distinctions. I cannot now examine all of them because there are many. Just to give you one other example, fairly evident when you read the text carefully, that the first time it says, Bayan Kolom Kol Echa Bayomu Kol Adron Asher Dibri Hashem, and the second time around, Kol Asher Dibri Hashem Nasa V'Nishma in Mishpatim. And there are other distinctions which I'm not going to focus on right now. And so the question is, what is the nature of these two covenants? And here there is a probably one of the most famous essays, if I can use that term, of the Bris Kolov of Avraham Soloveitchik, the Chassidus of Bracha, and it's not just Avraham Soloveitchik, but he's the one who really Kedarko Bakodesh articulated this idea in a frontal kind of way. I'll just briefly tell you what he said, and then I was able to hear his nephew, Moran Harav, Soloveitchik, the Chassidus of Bracha, also elaborate on this at some length. And then it's just amazing to see that if you read the Ramban carefully, it's embedded in the Ramban. You just have to know how to read the Ramban in between the lines and over the lines and under the lines, and you'll see the same thing in the Ramban. Bris Kolov says the reason why the Torah divides the Bris into two parshas, again, this fits with the Ramban, obviously, because the Ramban holds that Yitzro is before Mount Torah, the Mishpatim this week, the Bris is after Mount Torah. Says the Bris Kolov, there are two, obviously, Tzvei Dinim. There are two aspects to Mount Torah. One is what he calls Maimon HaSinai, the Kabbalah HaTorah. One is the acceptance of Torah, Maimon HaSinai, the entire revelation. The second set of the Bris Kolov is what he calls Knisto the Bris, entering the covenant. And he refers to the Mechilta, which the Ramban quotes. Mechilta says that once he saw them on the Kabbal upon themselves, Natar Adam, Mitzorak Adam, he told them, Havi Atem Shurim, Anubim, Tusim, Machar Bo, the Kabbal Alechim, the Kabbal Mitzvot. And the Ramban indicates, and the Mitzorak actually becomes a Mechilta, that there's also an obligation, as you probably know, according to the Ramban, not to forget Maimon HaSinai. The Rambam also has such a thing in Pasha Ma'eskanen. If you recall, Pentishka Chesad Varam Asher Rolim Necha, Ufen Yasur Vavokh Lekoli Mecha Yecha, the obligation to pass this on to future generations. So the Ramban and the Bris Kolov, the way he explains the Ramban, points out the following distinction. That where do we have the Pasha of Maimon HaSinai and what I would call Kabbalah Kol Mitzvot? That's found where? In Yisrael. And Yisro, when they said, that which Hashem Yisroel commanded us to do, Naseh. What does Naseh mean? Yeah. Kabbalah Kol Mitzvot, they accepted upon themselves to do the mitzvot, they committed themselves, Maimon HaSinai. However, the Parsha Mishpatim is already a much higher level. They entered the bris, the way Rashi calls it, the Gemara Kritzos, through Milot, Tfilot, Hatzot, Domim, the Gemara Yevamot, Avnim Zayin, the Gemara Kritzos, Atet. And therefore, he says over here, not simply Naseh, but rather Naseh v'nishma, clearly a much higher level. The first level, which is embedded in the word Naseh, is simply Asiyas HaMitzvot, accepting upon himself to do the mitzvot. But Nishma, says the Bris Kolov, according to Targum Unkelos, Unkelos says, Navi v'mekabel, not just to do, but also to be mekabel. What does it mean to be mekabel? To commit ourselves wholeheartedly and literally with our entire persona, commit ourselves to the Torah, and that's why in Yisrael the question only was, are you willing to accept the Torah? And the answer is not say yes, we're willing to accept the Torah. However, the Parsha Mishpatim already is a much higher level, not just simply to accept the Torah, but to be willing to enter the bris. And of course, entering the bris is, as I said, a much higher level, a much deeper kind of commitment. And after mentioning himself, he explained this dialectic or this dualism in the following way. He gave a number of mishalim. I just recently dug up my notes from 1970. And the Rav, that's a few years ago. Rav Soloveitchik gave a number of very fascinating mishalim. I'll just give you one or two from a halachic standpoint, and then we'll discuss it a bit further, more from an agadic standpoint. You may or may not be familiar with the famous Abinatam. Abinatam is quoted by the Rosh in Ksubis. When a person, let's say, borrows money, a loan that borrows money from a malva. So what happens when he borrows money? So as you know, If he borrows money with Shtar, if you live with the Shtar, a contract called an IOU, and he's chayvus, that is chayvus generates really two obligations, says I'm in the top. One obligation is a shivir aguf. I have to pay back the money that I borrowed. The Gemara says, it's silver for your own, it's all mitzvah here. He's talking about a mitzvah to pay back the loan that I took. That's a very significant mitzvah. That's a shivir aguf. But beyond that, when a milzah, when a halva takes place bishtar, and there's an IOU, what else is created? What's known as a shivir nechasim. If I don't pay, so then Bezdin can go, and basically a lien is on my property, and my property is mortgaged to pay for this loan. I can't just simply take a chov and not pay it back. I'm required to pay it back. If I have cash, COD, what they call it, mezumanim, plus I pay with mezumanim. If I don't, there's a shivir nechasim on my property. And then Bezdin has the right thing to be. So my nechasim becomes security for this loan. These are two types of shibud. So our salvation suggested that the relationship between Hashem and Klal Yisrael, and this is found in the Medrash many times. The Medrash gives many Mishalim. The relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people is the same as the Malvah to Lovah. It's one of his types. We have both the Shibur Aguf to Hashem Yisbarach, a personal bondage, a personal mortgage, a personal indebtedness. But also, it goes beyond that. The Medrash says that sometimes when our notes become due, what does Hashem Yisbarach do? Yorei Yonachasem. Hashem Yisbarach goes after our nechassim, goes after our property. What does this mean exactly? It means there are two levels, said the Rav, of his chayvus between Klal Yisrael and Hashem. One is shibudim. We are meshubad to the Ribono Shel Olam. But even the malveh is meshubad, who has a shibud on the loveh, but the malveh doesn't own the loveh. However, the relationship between Hashem and Yisrael and Klal Yisrael goes much deeper. It's not only a relationship of Shibudin Seraf Ha'oveshik, but it's also a relationship of Eved. We are Avodim to Hashem Yisbarach. We are his servants. And in fact, what that means is that Hashem owns our goof, our personality, every feeling, every emotion that a Jew has to be dedicated to Hashem Yisbarach, every desire that I have. And in the Chilter, our Chavesh quoted it, the Atem Tiyuli, Manachat Kwani, Begoy Kadosh, says in the Chilter, Kinuyimli, we are not only Meshuvah to Hashem Yisbarach, we are coming to him. We are literally bound him as a body. The Beit Halevi also has this idea in the Perish Al Torah, another beautiful sefer that Kedai to learn. And the Rav actually gave, as I said, a number of examples, and essentially what he tried to do is to explain these are the two parshas in Yisro Mishpatim. In Yisro, the Torah is speaking about a shibud, which of course is a commitment. As a loan, as a commitment to pay back the loan, but it's a shibud aguf. It's a personal indebtedness, a personal bondage. However, the parsha of Mishpatim is way beyond that. It's not just a personal indebtedness, but now we have Hashem has a kinyan on us. There's a hitzchayvus, which is, as I call, the shibud nechasim, much deeper, much more profound. The Rav gave another example. Let's give you one more example before I start discussing. And that is, you may be familiar as well with two types of kedusha. There's something called Kedusha Zomim, and there's something called Kedusha Guf. We've actually been making English. The person is makir the carbon, and is magnish the carbon, an animal to the Beit HaMikdash. What kind of Kedusha do we have? Does that animal have imprinted on it? A Kedusha Guf. The animal itself is inherently Kadosh. It has a Kedusha. That's called a Kedusha Guf. However, there's another kind of Kedusha. If I am makdish this table, the English, obviously, the table is not going to go up in the Mizbeach. But rather, the table will continue to have what kind of a Kedusha? A Kedusha Zomim. Which means that the money essentially belongs to Hegdish. The table has value, and the value of the table is that which belongs to Hegdish. What's the distinction between Kedusha Zomim and Kedusha Guf? The distinction is the following. There are several halakhic distinctions, and they are the following. That in Kedusha Zomim, there, it's not really the item inherently that has Kedusha. But what has Kedusha? The value of the item. The dummy belongs to Hegdish. In Kedusha Guf, this animal itself, can be offered up as an example of the carbon, the Kedusha is embedded, lies in the animal itself. And the distinction is, in halacha, is that pidyon, is the halacha that when it comes to Kedusha dummy, you can depose it, you can redeem that Hegdish, and you can remove it from Hegdish. When it comes to Kedush Saguf, it's not something to pidyon. Or for that matter, Me'ilah. There's a din of Me'ilah, you're not allowed to be netted of Hekdesh. So the halacha is that when you're moil and Kedush Adomim, the Kedush disappears. The Kedush is gone. If you are netted of Kedush Adomim, the Kedush will leave. Mashenki, Kedush Saguf, the Kedush can never disappear. The Gemara says, hey, moil, lacha moil, elam, a behemoth who shares the vat. If the Kedush is inherent, is embedded in the idol itself, it cannot be removed. Okay, I'm not getting into those areas of halacha, I'm just mentioning them. So here also, the Rav suggested that the relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Rebbe Shalom is not just a shibud, not just a commitment, not just a kedusha domim, but it's much more than that. It's a kedusha gur. We are avodim, we are kodesh Hashem Yisbarach, and therefore, he in effect owns us. There's a bible that Hashem has over Klal Yisrael. And now, with that background, that's how we have to understand what happened over here in Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, we have the Parsha of Yitro, Hashem asked us to be mekabel upon ourselves all mitzvahs. But that's really an important commitment, but still not a total, absolute, profound commitment. When does the commitment become, shall we say, totally transformed into one of avdus? Only in Mishpatim. That's when the Knesset of the Brits occurred, where the Brits Club explained it, and that's when you have a Kedush Saguf relationship that developed, not just simply Shibud Haguf, but a Shibud Chosim. We are coming to Hashem, we are Avodah with Hashem Yisbarach, and as a result, that's when Klal Yisrael says, not simply Naaseh, but rather Naaseh B'Nishma. We're going to accept upon ourselves the end of the Brits, and that's the commitment that Klal Yisrael is making to Hashem Yisbarach. There's a fundamental distinction between these two commitments, as I'm indicating, and actually one can really even see this if you examine the Sukkim in Yisro Mishpatim. I'm not going to really go into this at any great length, but you have Mamun HaSinai, and then unquestionably you have the Pasha Mishpatim, which has in many details of Edom Mechavero, and then finally you have this piece of the Brit, which is found at the end of Mishpatim, which according to the Ramban and Ibn Ezra occurs after Matan Torah. And this is a much higher level of commitment. It's a commitment that indicates that my entire neshama, my guf, my, as I said before, every aspect of my personality is committed to Hashem Yisbarach. So, in the course of discussing this, I just want to mention another medrash that I'm also very fond of. A medrash in Parshas Noach. The Medrash says that a person, the Gemara in Gittin, there's another Gittin this year, I feel I can quote this Gemara, and that's Tamach on the base, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Lokara Tako Mishmol, the Brits of Yisrael, El Mishril, Rav Shabbal Peh. The Brits that Hashem made with Klal Yisrael relate to Torah Shabbal Peh. Shenema, Ki Alpi Adron Ma'ele Karati Sabrit Beth Yisrael, and the Medrash in Noach said the following. You will not find someone who's able to study Torah Shabbal Peh, that means Gittin, or Rav Kama, whatever it may be, Ella, unless the person is willing to commit himself to Misha Nevis Atma Olel. There's someone who wants to be Mevakish Oneg Olam Azeh, Taimu Mekavu Nizula, will not be Zod at the Zerah Shabbat. The Kak Da'atah Shal Torah, I'm just skipping parts of the Nevish, the person wants to be Zod at the Zerah Shabbat, Chai Yitzar Tichye, Uba Torah Ta'omel, requires tremendous Amolot, tremendous commitment, the Pishul of Torah, Takan Zbor, the Bishop of Israel, El Al Torah Shabbat Pesh, and Emma, the Abdi Adron Ma'ile, Tarat Yitzchabrit, the Yom Chazal, Lo Kasa, Takan Zbor, the Torah, the Man Adron Ma'ile, the Lo Bagu Adron Ma'ile, the Lo Beglal Adron Ma'ile, Al Pi Adron Ma'ile, the Zui Torah Shabbat Pesh. She crushed the will mode. It's hard to learn the Fem of Gittin. It's hard to learn the Kama. It's hard to learn the Subis. She crushed the will mode, the Yeshua Tzar, Godol, and the tremendous pain in learning Gittin, in learning Tzubis, in learning Baba Kama. He mashul achoshet, it's like darkness. Shenema ha'am ha'alka b'achoshet. But ultimately, if a person strives and a person commits himself, not just the first commitment of Pasuk Yitzchok, but the much deeper, more profound commitment of Mishpatim, you'll be zochet to see Or Gadol, you'll see a great light. Eilu b'alei Talmud, the Medrash says in Noach, the Medrash Tanchuma, Shero Or Gadol, Shakolish Baruch Hu, Meir Eidere. And so it's this that I want to think about. These two bridges, these two covenants, and exactly how a person achieves